Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And you know how Oprah has her favorite things.
Of course.
This is kind of like that, but it's only one favorite thing. And it happened a couple of years ago. Harry Carey's restaurant produced these holy cow potato chips, not just any potato chip, their delicious potato chip dipped in chocolate. And CEO of Harry Carey's restaurant group, Grant DePorter, in the studio with us. Thank you for creating these magical things.
You're welcome. Thanks. You made them famous a few years ago, and our phones just went nuts. So it's been fun. People wait for this one moment when we come out with our chips.
It's like Oprah and our favorite things.
Very
I'm telling you.
Very, very similar. Here's why. There's all kinds of things that have chocolate in them, and they're fine. And potato chips are always going to be good. But somehow the marriage of those two together, and I don't take it lightly because the right flavor balance is so key to this, that the flavor just explodes. They're so good. I look forward to this. I mean, I love the Christmas holidays, Grant, but especially when these chips are out, it's the best snack there is. I don't know how you do it.
Well, Reader's Digest had picked our potato chips without the chocolate as the number one best munchie in America. So now you add the chocolate and you go.
Even better.
Yeah, how do you?
Even better.
That's what it is. I mean, the kettle cooked chips that you guys serve at Harry Carey's, amazing on their own. The chocolate you use is outstanding. And a lot of people have copied this in the last 2 years when you came out with these. Yeah. I never saw a chocolate covered chip before you guys started it. And now there are just others that pale in comparison.
Well, those are like mass produced with preservatives and all kinds of
stuff. You make each one of these chips
by hand.
Yeah, they're hand dipped. Yeah.
Three or four craftsmen working around the clock to create each and every chip.
Talk about Santa's elves.
Right.
They're very, very labor intensive.
Now, here's a question. In previous years, you've done dark chocolate and milk chocolate, and this year it's only dark chocolate.
Yeah.
How come?
Because it was overwhelmingly people were going for the dark chocolate.
Is that
really
true?
Yeah.
I think you and I are the only ones that like the milk chocolate.
I love them both.
They are both
good. But the milk
chocolate
is that's my favorite, but please.
I think it was like a 90% in favor of dark chocolate.
Yeah, but you know why, though? Everybody is very health conscious, and dark chocolate's supposed to be very good for you. However, it's on a potato chip. So it's not, you're not going for the health reasons there.
I think the dark went better with the potato chip, though.
Do you? It fits better? The flavor's better?
I think so.
All right. So now to get these is a little challenging, right?
Yes.
For people who
are
hearing
this.
You
made them too famous.
They're too famous. That's the problem. These are too famous. But people will hear this and they'll say, I've got to try these and make sure they're as good as Wendy says.
Oh, they are.
And they are. But it's a little tricky as to how to obtain them, right?
Yeah, people were anticipating this moment hitting, so they were sending us emails well in advance saying, please, you know, save me some. So, and we don't make unlimited amount of chips. So right now, we're processing those, and we don't know how many we're going to have at the end. So people could be like on a waiting list. Just email holycow@harrycarys.com or check out Harry Carey's Facebook page, Harry Carey's Restaurant's Facebook page, and they'll update if in
a flash sale.
Yes, it'll be like that. We'll know how much we actually have after all these pre-orders.
So your potato chips are like the Hamiltons of snack foods, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's hard
like
to
Hamilton.
Get them, but when you get them, you see why everybody loves them.
Yes.
All right, that makes sense.
All right, if they're hand dipped, here's my question: why isn't there a bald spot of no chocolate where a finger is holding it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, because
when you dip it in the chocolate, there would be a little bald spot where the finger is holding on to the, of course, a gloved finger.
Velvet glove, probably.
Yeah, it's magic holiday, like elves coming.
Right.
It's a secret.
They all have giant glasses. Harry carries glasses, too, while they make the chips.
They do. They scream holy cow as they're doing it.
There's probably some kind of chip clip type thing where they dip it in so they don't need to use
it's a
finger.
It's a trade secret. Grant
I know.
Is not at liberty to say.
I know.
He's
I don't blame you.
Not at liberty to say. My guess is because of the Cubs' success this year, Harry Carey's, which is always just one of the best restaurants in the city, even better year just because of the Cubs' success, right? It had to have played in.
Oh, it was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, you could not have wished for a better – the way it played out, them versus Cleveland. Both teams had the longest droughts, going seven games, going, you know, rain delay, extra innings.
Yep.
And I'm the one that put out all the 108 signs.
I know.
Early
you were
on,
driving me crazy with those.
It played out perfectly. It was funny was people were quoting me back to myself, not knowing that I'm the one that started it.
Right.
Like the 108 stitches in a baseball and all the 108s. So it kept on playing. But I went over all the 108s with Anthony Rizzo. I like to think I helped him really think positive. His favorite was John Lester being born in Tacoma, Washington, the 108th largest city in America.
I hear that they watched the Rocky movie 108 times. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know. Could be.
No, I'm just throwing one back at you.
Maybe. But aren't you, I mean, I know you know some of the players and the management and the ownership. How could you not be thrilled with what they provided with all of us here in the city year long? It was just a magnificent year, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
No, it's a dynasty, I think, and it's very really exciting. You know, I don't believe in ghosts, but what happened like years ago, we've had this Harry Carey statue in our restaurant since 1999. It's the exact replica of the one at Wrigley Field. And the day the Ricketts family bought the team, the statue started like screaming, making noise, like cheering or something. And it did it for exactly 24 hours. The Sun-Times wrote about it. 400 people came in with recorders trying to record it. I sent it to the military trying to decode it. And because it only made noise one time. But I think Harry knew that the Ricketts family was going to bring, you know, the World Series championship to the Cubs because he just saw it.
Wow.
It's a pretty amazing story.
It's a miracle. Sorry, Fatima. You had it for a while, but now we've got it. Wow. That's impressive.
Yes.
But the mood in the restaurant, the mood is always good at Harry Carey's, but this year especially when you went in there, smiles ear to ear from everybody, there was just kind of a feeling of this is finally going to do it. This is the year.
Yes. It was like we did four rallies starting at 4 a.m, and we were full at 4 a.m. And I took a lot of pride in that it was us versus, we were both on the Today Show, us and a restaurant in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cleveland, they get 1 hour extra sleep. They're the Eastern time
right.
zone. They had like 15 people. We had like 400 people. You know, Cub fans, just the energy was huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was such a special year. I mean, the best team in baseball deserves to win the World Series. Bottom line.
Yeah, and we were the best all the way through.
No doubt about this. Can you stick around for just a little bit?
Sure.
Because you have brought Wendy and me an artifact, something that is very rare and very cool to see. We'll explain what that is next. It's Bill Leffen and it's Wendy Snyder, along with Grant DePorter from Harry Carey's on WGN. All right, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Grant DePorter has stopped by. Grant runs the Harry Carey restaurants. I know you've been there before, but go there again. You're going to love them. And then at Christmas time, they put out these incredible chocolate potato chips, unsurpassed. You're going to love them, but you'll go on a waiting list. It's not that simple to get them, but you'll enjoy them when you receive them.
And Grant, would you say the best place to find the Holy Cow chocolate-covered potato chips would be to follow the Facebook page and just keep checking it for available at various restaurants or only the one downtown?
Oh, well, I think the first, it would go Harry Carey's restaurant Facebook page, and if it happens, like you said, it'd be a flash sale, so it'd probably pop up and be sold out.
Like in a minute.
When it happens.
Yeah.
So I think just follow the Facebook page.
All right. That's the best way to do it.
That's the best way. You have brought us two books to look at and explain what we're looking at right here. Because this is a bit of history that I didn't even know existed, but this is very cool.
Well, Harry Carey had a long time. He moved to Chicago. He was with the Cardinals for 25 years, moved to Chicago to be the announcer for the White Sox in 1971. And then he was there till 81, then jumped to the Cubs in 82.
Mm-hmm.
So about a year ago, his longtime accountant lawyer switched offices and was trying to downsize. And he said, I have all these boxes in my storage room. I'm going to ship them to you. And he didn't tell me what was inside them. Because they hadn't been open since the 1970s. And I opened them up, and I saw all these diaries in this one box that was from 1971 to about 1984. And I opened them up, and I saw Harry's handwriting, and he was writing down every bar he'd gone to. And it was 6 bars a night for forever. And he would write, like, I'm with Jack Benny or Wilt Chamberlain or Ernie Banks, and who he was drinking with and what bars he was at, like Butch McGuire's and so on. And he was meticulous. Never in the 1972, I think he went to 200 bars 288 days in a row. But I think it's only because he had a hand cramp from writing. I think he was still going to the bars
and just not logging them.
Yeah. So because Harry always thought that we talked about that he probably consumed 300,000 alcoholic drinks in his lifetime.
300,000.
And it sounds like an exaggeration, but now we have documented proof. You know, it was 1,300 bars a year. And then he wrote down how much he was spending at each bar.
That's what it was. I wondered. He didn't spend that much. Drinks were cheaper back then because I'm sure he ate something, too.
Yeah, well, drinks were a lot cheaper. Well, I mean, 1971.
But people were buying him drinks, I would think, in a lot of these places, weren't they? Yeah, so he wasn't spending money on that.
Well, he was because he liked to buy rounds, too. So everyone's buying.
All right.
It's fun when people are drinking with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, buy him a drink.
Well, but also, if you look who he was with, I think Harry was buying for, you know, like, if he's hanging out with Ted Williams or Wilt Chamberlain or Stan Musial, he's going to buy.
Nellie King.
Yeah, there's a list here. You've compiled a list of some of these people. So you have, as you mentioned, Wilt Chamberlain, Ted Williams, Jack Dempsey, the great fighter, Frank Gifford, Brent Musburger, Dick Enberg, Jack Brickhouse, Irv Kupcinet, Pete Van Aken, that's his good friend from Peoria, Ron Santo, Chet Kopic, Don Drysdale, Fergie Jenkins, Sid Luckman, Johnny Bench, Bill Melton, Gail Sears, Jack Benny, Joe Pepitone. This is an impressive list of drinking buddies.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, the only two people I couldn't find in there, but I know did happen, was him and Frank Sinatra and Elvis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. Elvis was a huge fan of Harry's.
Wow. So was the goal in this, what was the goal in this for Harry? What did he want to achieve by documenting all this?
Well, early on, I think Harry thought he could deduct it from his taxes, but I don't think his accountant ever did that.
But it's so organized. It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, it worked well for me because it's easy. It's fun reading, and I loved it.
Now, some of the bars, these are all Chicago places, although he certainly drank on the road as well. But there's places. Now, some of these names are lost to time, but Sully's, Domino, O'Leary's, Eli's, Singapore, Adolph's, which, as I told you off, is my grandparents' restaurant, was my grandparents' restaurant on Rush Street. The Back Room, Butch McGuire's, the Pump Room, the Playboy Club, Four Torches, Mr. Kelly's, just to date this a little further, Mother's and The Lodge, just as he had an impressive list of drinking buddies, that's like a who's who lineup of bars in the 60s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
He liked Adolph's. He liked your grandparents'
place.
Oh,
yeah. He was in there quite well. I'd see him in there when I was a little kid. He was in there all the time. So what surprised you about this as you went through this? Were there any shocks to you, Grant?
Well, I think the enormity of just how many and the fact that he was actually writing it down like you were seeing is he was pretty detailed with all of his.
And his penmanship didn't waver like you'd think as the night went on and he was getting to his fourth, fifth and sixth bar. It'd be illegible. But no, you can kind of make out everything he's written.
I think Wendy might have the one where he was getting a little sloppy. There's one in there that starts. It's like a week of must have been a bad week, like a binge.
Well, and it's not in a straight line anymore. It starts going off to the side and stuff and a little sloppier.
I'm pretending he was at sea. He was on a boat for those last few. Think about the math in this, though. If he was doing six bars a night and these books prove that he was. So he was probably in each bar a half an hour, 90 minutes. What do you think?
Well, Dachi would say he didn't sleep. I mean, he would come home. He would close every bar. He would never leave early. So, I think he only needed a couple nights, a couple hours sleep, and then go right back to it.
Dedication.
Yes.
But you don't want to leave early because things could happen when you leave. You want to stay till the end.
Right.
Yes, he's the Michael Phelps of bars.
So at this time, how old he would have been in his 50s,
huh?
Right? If this is in 1972, Harry would be in his 50s at that point or 60s?
Harry's born in 1914.
All right.
So.
Yeah.
50.
We're all going.
56, 57, 57.
Yeah, he's in his 50s. So think about that, to be able to pull this off, not just once in a great while, but every night. I don't know. Did his liver also write a book at any point?
Yeah. Well, he was superhuman because he really did this pace all the way up until late in life. He fell down in Miami.
Yeah. And that's on Valentine's Day.
That's when
his
doctor said, hey, it's time to, slow down.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he switched to O'Doul's for a little bit.
Did he?
Yeah.
That just doesn't cut it. It doesn't.
Kind of a beer taste.
But he never would admit he's drinking O'Doul's, so he put the Budweiser bottle in front of his glass.
That's
brilliant,
so funny.
Brilliant, yes. Brilliant, brilliant.
All right, where was Catfish or Singapore? Just some of the Orange Tree. These are some of the restaurants / bars that he frequented.
I forget. I mean, that was before my time, too. But I bet your listeners know because some regulars at Harry Carey's were going through that list with me, and they had frequented those places as well.
The Westin, the Drake.
The ones I recognize are mostly Rush Street or just off of Rush Street. So that he was the mayor of Rush Street. Mm-hmm. So my guess is, I'm just guessing here, but within the vicinity.
I saw some up in Lincoln Park.
Oh, were there a few? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Holiday Inn. I hope it was just a drink.
Yeah.
And it was just a dream, I'm sure.
I think he was the 410 Club and the Wrigley Building across over here.
It says in 1971, Harry documented 1,362 bar visits. But then in 72, his numbers were way down to just 1,242. He really slipped in 1 year.
I think he was going, more like you said, how much time he spent in one bar. He had to slow it down.
Quality
that way.
Over quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started getting to know his favorite places like Adolph's and hung out there longer.
I love it.
God, this is great.
This is fantastic. Grant, it's so much fun to see you, and really one of the things that Wendy and I look forward to the most at Christmas time are these potato chips, these chocolate-covered potato chips. One more time, if people want them, they're not easy to obtain, but visit the Facebook page, Harry Carey's Facebook page, and it'll alert you as to where and when these chips are available, huh?
Right, or they could be proactive and try getting on a waiting list at emailing holycow@harrycarys.com.
All right.
When do you start making these for the season? Like a little before Thanksgiving?
No. They're very fresh.
Okay, because all I want to say is maybe in the future, you know, everybody's got an iPhone now. They can set a little alert for, like, what day? December, 1st of December, maybe? And remind themselves, Holy Cow chocolate-covered potato chips from Harry Carey's.
I would email before then, for sure.
Yeah. See? You got to get proactive
on
this.
Yep, absolutely. Great to see you, Grant. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, guys.
It's Grant DePorter from Harry Carey's.
Merry Christmas.
A quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.